Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to call the meeting of the State Affairs Committee to order. It is 3:32 p.m. on Tuesday, February 21st. Let the record show that we have a quorum to do business. We have with us Senator Egan, Senator Coghill, Senator Giesel, Senator Wilson, and myself, Senator Dunleavy. Purpose of today's meeting is we're going to be having public testimony on SB 21 and SB 26. Prior to that, and starting first, will be an introduction of SR 3, which is a Senate resolution, February 2017, Black History Month, by Senator Begich. So we're going to ask Senator Begich to come to the podium, state his name for the record, and then you can introduce the bill.
Thank you very much. My name is Senator Tom Begich. I am the Senator for District J, which is downtown Anchorage, Mountain View, Fairview Airport Heights, and Government Hill. Before you is Senate Resolution 3, which passed out of the Senate Education Committee last week, and simply proclaims February 2017 as Black History Month. As you may know, in 1926, Dr. Carter Woodson established Negro History Week to coincide with the birth of Abraham Lincoln and abolitionist leader Frederick Douglass. It's timely that this week here in this committee would also coincide with President's Day. And Senate, at the time, President Gerald Ford expanded February to Black History Month in 1976. And today we are asking that the Senate acknowledge that this February 2017 would be Black History Month. The resolution is fairly straightforward. There are a series of whereas clauses which describe the history of Black History Month. And then we added a whereas clause to speak specifically about some of the African American contributions in Alaska, starting with the Buffalo Soldiers and Dyea and Skagway Gold during the Gold Rush. Also talking about the engineers who helped build the Alaska-Canada Highway, the Alcan. And then also just talking generally about those African Americans who've contributed in all walks of life to Alaska. In Senate Education Committee, there were a number of people who testified publicly about some of the awards the last few weeks that were provided in Anchorage and other areas around the state honoring African Americans in Alaska. So with that, I want to be cautious, not cautious, but cognizant of your time, Chair Dunleavy, and would offer the bill and ask for your support and be prepared to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Are there questions from members of the committee regarding SR3? Seeing no questions, we're going to open this up for public testimony. Is there anybody online that wishes to speak to SR3? No, 21 and 26.
Yes, we've got someone in Cordova for SR3.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay. William Deaton, can you state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please?
Hello, my name is William Deaton, and I am here testifying in opposition to Senate Resolution 3. I am representing myself and my family, my mom, my dad, my grandmother, and my two sisters. We oppose this resolution because, first, we need to have a resolution designating Asian History Month and White History Month, and especially for Alaska, Russian History Month. It is discriminatory to support only one race. America's history tells us that. While we wholeheartedly love people in the black race, such as former presidential candidate Dr. Ben Carson and his wife Candy Carson, we do not support discrimination by the state in favor of their race. In the Declaration of Independence, we see that we are created by God and that He created us equal. In America's past, we have done bad things based solely on someone's race. We recognize this, and we do not support slavery or what the black men had to go through in their work on the Alcan Highway. We appreciate what they did, but we do not support designating a month in honor of their black race. First, as I said before, we would like to see an Asian History Month, Russian History Month, White History Month, European History Month, and Black Teeth History Month, etc. Therefore, we oppose Senate Resolution 3. Thank you for allowing me to testify, and God bless America.
Thank you, Mr. Deaton. I don't believe there's anyone else online to testify on SR3. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify on SR3? Seeing none, we're going to close public testimony. Is there a motion to move Senate Resolution 3?
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Resolution Number 3, Version 30LS0418/Delta from committee with individual recommendations.
Is there an objection? Seeing no objection, the Senate Resolution D, Version 3, moves out of committee with individual recommendations. We're going to take a quick at ease. We're back in session. We're going to turn now to SB 21 and SB 26. These are two bills. One, 21, has been introduced by Senator Steadman. It's a POMV bill regarding the permanent fund. And SB 26 is also a POMV bill and was sponsored by the Rules Committee, by the Governor through our Rules Committee. And today we're going to have public testimony on both. And for those folks that are online that are listening, when they give their testimony, if they could talk to 21, SB 21, and SB 26, you could do so in the 3 minutes that you'd be allotted. And we're going to begin the public testimony right now. So with that, we're going to turn to we're going to go to Cordova real quick. Back to Mr. Deaton. Mr. Deaton, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony on SB 21, SB 26, and you can delineate which one you're testifying on first.
Okay, I'm testifying on both. My name is William Deaton, and I am testifying in opposition to SB 21 and SB 26. I'm here on behalf of my family, which includes my mother, my father, my grandmother, and my two sisters. We oppose these bills because we would like to have our full PFD. We do not support what the governor did last year by vetoing our PFD. We support Senator Dunleavy's plan to cut the budget and not impose any new taxes. There are many places to cut the budget, and we don't need to impose a cut to the PFD. We support SB 1 and 2, and we strongly encourage that it passes the Senate as soon as possible. And with that, I will end my testimony. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you. Next, we have in Anchorage, we have Terrence Shanigan. And again, we are testifying on SB 21 and SB 26. Both are POMV bills. SB 1 and 2 are separate issues, separate bills, and they're no longer in committee. So 21 and 26 is what we're testifying on. Mr. Shanigan, can you please state your name for the record and begin your testimony?
Yes. My name is Terrence Shanigan, and I represent myself.
Thank you. You can begin.
I'm speaking on SB 21 and SB 26. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I oppose both SB 21 and SB 26, and I do support Senator Dunleavy's plan to right-size government before we start seeking out any new revenue streams or exploring revenue sources. I feel like there's a lot of false narratives that are out there that are driving the conversation to push towards things like SB 21, SB 26, and even the House Bill 115. I know we're not speaking on that today, but it's similar. These false narratives, I believe, are being put forward to rationalize why we should be seeking these revenue sources, and I wanted to highlight a couple of these false narratives. The first, we know that the state budget grew over 100% between 26 and 2016, yet it outpaced inflation, which was closer to 18%, so it had a five-fold increase over inflation. And I find it very difficult to understand why we aren't able to cut the operating budget. That's one of the false narratives I want to hit first, is that I keep hearing this number of 44%, 43%, particularly out of the governor's office. That's a false narrative, because many of the cuts that have been made were one-time expenditures or the refusal to pay oil tax credits, or they've come out of simply one aspect of the state funding, which is coming out of UGF funds, or things of that nature. And when I went back, I put about 1,000 hours into looking at every one of the departmental budgets and analyzing what we've been spending and what the reductions are. The operating budget itself has only reduced by about 3.7% over the last 3 years. So when we look at what we're cutting capital budget, we're cutting one-time expenditures, we're doing a lot of stuff, but we're not really trimming from inside the department. And so when we said that government's cut to the bone, is this really true? And I wanted to take a look at a few things. One of the things that I know is that we have a lot of funded unfilled PCNs, or employee positions, around the state. Looking at those department by department, there's about $275 million just sitting there. These departments are using at the pad. Some cases they've been returned back, but many cases departments are being reluctant to share this information because it is money that they're getting. We just don't pay the legacy costs on that. But I also think that there are places right in the legislature we should be looking at trying to cut and trim money. When we read stories like in the ADN today where we have legislators getting per diem that are in their hometowns and they're sleeping in their own beds, that's not mission critical to the state, that's hypocritical. And I think that's a big deal to look at, especially when even the food in the cafeteria at the legislature is being subsidized by about 20%. So we have to start looking at ourselves and look inward. Another false narrative is when we look at cutting state employees. I hear, well, if we cut every single state employee, we're not going to have, we're still not going to come close to balancing the budget. That's actually a true statement, but it's deceiving, because two-thirds of the funding for the state government sits outside of those employee costs. So I guess in closing, I'd just like to say that we should be constructing a budget from the ground up and build a government we can afford. I guess I'll kind of leave it there because I think time is cutting short.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to stay in Anchorage. We're going to go to Michael Chambers. Michael, if you can state your name for the record. And I should say that we're going to have a number of people testifying, so we're going to limit it to 3 minutes. Mr. Chambers? Mr. Chambers, are you online?
Senator Dunleavy? Oh, wait.
Mr. Chambers, are you there?
Senator Dunleavy, this is Paul, middle initial D. Kendall, Michael Chambers is not here, if this helps you out.
Okay, so Mr. Kendall, we'll take you, and it's we're limiting this to 3 minutes. If you could state your name for the record and begin your testimony, that would be great.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Dunleavy. My name is Paul, middle initial D. Kendall. I've been in Alaska some time, as a ministry year. I'm very concerned about what's going on down there. Well, I have you, Senator Dunleavy. I don't think I'm going to support your bill on the PFD, and I'll tell you why. I want damages. I want the accrued interest of that $660 million that governor stole. He stole 600,000 people's Christmas, and I want my money. I want the interest that it earned, accrued. I want damages, and I also have some late bills that I want the governor to pay for. So I don't think I can support your bill, Senator Dunleavy, even though it's a well-intended and constructed bill. Thank you very much. Moving on, I really think we're in some kind of a state of denial here as to what's occurring, because our government is in a state of absenteeism and isolated down in June where they're herding you like a herd of sheep or something here. Let me put this my understanding is, I'm trying to find some simple terms for this. My understanding is the per employee retires on $1,500 a month cash, all the bennies around it. A teacher TERS retires on the average $2,800 a month plus bennies. Now, here's what you need to do. You people need to go in there, you need to look at all these compensation packages, you need to take them apart, you need to buy them out, and never, ever, ever again are we going to use our shared revenues, resources of Alaska, and the monies from our single-family dwelling, which are the backbones, quite frankly, here. Never, ever again are we going to use these to pay public employees to belong to members of unions, which is communism. Now, let me tell you why this is the case. I'm an older male for some of you younger males and females out there. And men like me, I'm not so known as a traditional male with some of the older values that allowed you to have the things you enjoy today. That's right, because us older people built this on morals that apparently the school district has forgotten to teach you people. But here's my point. Nobody wanted to be a public employee. It was a terrible job. The public bitched all the time and griped, and the job had no benefits whatsoever. You do, let me put it this way, you have no right to assault me economically, put me into servitude, economic servitude and indenturement, so that I can pay a school teacher $2,800 a month just because she got some politician to cut them a deal after I gave them my full faith and trust. He cut a deal so that they can live the life with golden handcuffs. This is unsustainable. And you folks, in all fairness, you need to come back to Alaska. You're missing the chance to have great leadership, and you need to come back up to Anchorage and let us have this discussion about some things that are going to move us very, very quickly. Here's how I see this. Here's your budget. You want me to wrap it up?
Yeah, you need to wrap it up and let us know what your thoughts are on SB 21 and SB 26.
Yeah, the permanent fund should be sealed. There's nothing wrong with the permanent fund or the dividend. There are common sense facts before you. I'll wrap it up. Here's your budget. Your budget is $1.5 billion thereabouts of the old revenue and a $500 million miscellaneous revenue. That's your budget. I don't want to hear any of the whine or complain or can't cut the budget or some constructed phrase. That is your budget, period. Okay?
Thank you, now, Mr. Kendall. We really appreciate that.
I'm trying to go over my notes here. I think we should have a head tax. If you're going to tax me, which goes against all my values as an American citizen in Alaska especially, then let's do a head tax because we need to see these people.
Mr. Kendall, we're going on about 4 minutes. We're trying to get as many people as possible. Can you wrap it up in, let's say, 10 seconds?
I can. Thank you for the opportunity, what little opportunity it is, and I wait for you leaders to come back to Anchorage and let us really, really be something special as opposed to trying to maintain the status quo. One thing real quick. Okay. The governor stole $600.
Thank you very much.
Less than 2 months later, he went after 3.5.
Thank you very much. We're going to go next to Kenai, David Brighton. Could you please state your name for the record? And could you, we're testifying on SB 21 and SB 26, and you have 3 minutes. Please begin your testimony.
Excuse me, my name is David Brighton. I'm a father of three kids here in Alaska, a teacher, and the president of the Kenai Peninsula Education Association. I would like to speak in support of SB 26. I can support SB 21 as well. I think they're very similar. But it seems like 26 has been discussed a little bit more and seems a little simpler. But either way, I think what we need to do is we need to move forward with a balanced approach. I favor income tax. I enjoy the services that we have in Alaska, and I don't want to see those decimated by budget cuts. I don't think it's reasonable to ask us to balance a budget on the price of oil as it is. I favor using the permanent funds earnings reserve to bring about the important services that we have. So please consider these bills. I wish it had happened 2 or 3 years ago when the big deficits occurred. But certainly, Senator Dunleavy, your words are accurate. This is the year that we have to take action. We've got to solve this problem now, so please do so. I like these bills. I think that they are an answer, and I thank you for your service.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to Kurt Schmidt in Delta Junction. Mr. Schmidt, if you're there, please state your name for the record, and we're testifying in SB 21 and 26, and it's you've got 3 minutes.
Senator Dunleavy and members of the committee, my name is Kurt Schmidt, and I represent my family of six. Quick anecdote, I strongly support Dunleavy's Senate Bill 1 and 2. However, I am opposed to Senate Bills 21 and 26, for they wrongfully assume that the permanent fund is state money to be spent by the governor or the legislature, when in fact, it is the money of the people. The name and purpose of the permanent fund is clear beyond doubt. Individuals and corporations do not and did not own the oil beneath the ground. Collectively, it is the resource of the people. When the PFD fund was established, it was designed to distribute the value of the resource collectively to the people. Constitutionally protected, the PFD was constructed as the people's institution in perpetuity. It was secure in the fact until a desperate governor and a judge without integrity tried to justify the theft of the people's money to support a bloated government. To lie and say it was the state's money or that the state or corporate interests could dip into this money is fraud. To interpret that it could be taken away is theft. If you remember the Boston Tea Party and the premise that it started upon and the revolutionary war it led to, this incident of the state stealing the citizens' PFD money is on an order of magnitude greater than that of the Boston Tea Party, greater than taxation without representation. For you representatives that vote in support of Senate Bills 21 and 26, your names will be tied to the theft of the individual, Alaskan citizens' money. The people know who you are, and ultimately, you will be held accountable. A child born today with a 75-year life expectancy could expect $150,000 in investment dividend return, money that could meet basic needs or fund college tuition or provide personal business startup money. A family of nine children would collectively lose $1.35 million in dividend interest over a lifetime. Senate Bill 21 and 26 propose to kill opportunity for the citizens of Alaska and their families. Holding legislative sessions in remote Juneau excludes many of your poorest, overlooked constituents who rely on this money most. 110,000 relatively silent Native folks, many having poverty-level incomes based upon their localities, are effectively silenced. You do not have the right to deny their dividend investment income that has been secured by past, less corrupt legislative bodies as this. Each and every citizen today and in the future was gifted the investment dividend opportunity. You do not have the right to take it away. I urge you to reject Senate Bill 21 and 26. Mr. Governor and the legislature, the people know who you are. You will be held accountable for your wrongful public actions, all in good time. I am a public employee, and I do not want to go against right and wrong. The money was established for the benefit of the citizens, especially the little people in Alaska. And it's not the right of the privilege to take away from the little people.
Mr. Schmidt, if you can wrap it up. Okay, thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to George Pierce and Kasiloff. Mr. Pierce, can you state your name for the record? Speak to SB 21 and SB 26, and you've got 3 minutes.
My name is George Pierce. I live in Kasiloff, Alaska, and I'm representing myself. Thank you for taking my testimony. I strongly oppose SB 21 and SB 26. I oppose a reconstructing of the permanent fund dividend. I oppose re-evaluation of the use of the earnings of the PFD every 3 years. When the permanent fund dividend was set up, it was set up with the intent was to give Alaskans a fair share in the wealth. With these two bills, the people's share is disappearing quickly. 67% of our $1,000 would be spent on government services and oil incentives. In the forecast, we will be losing up to 30,000 jobs, and our legislators created stacking credits that if we get $150 a barrel, the net operating loss, we'd eat any of that profit. So government needs the restructuring, not the PFD. We hear everyone needs skin in the game, but there's been a large list left out. S corporations, millions of tourists, thousands of non-resident commercial fishermen, pipeline employees, and construction workers called contractors who came up here to work or play that pay nothing. Why don't we instead have a public vote on a PFD use, a PFD advisory vote by the people of Alaska to decide if our permanent fund should be used for government spending, oil incentives, and to fund hundreds of millions of $1,000 in giveaways. I oppose SB 21 and SB 26. It's a dismantling of our permanent fund dividend. You legislators have increased the budget beyond population growth and inflation, so government needs to be reconstructed itself and discipline itself enough to balance the budget. To solve all the problems with a pre-FD, that's called weak problem solving. These bills should be called the destruction of the people's PFD. Thank you very much for taking my testimony.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Fairbanks, Alexandra Gudzinski. If you are online, please state your name for the record. Begin your testimony on SB 21 and 26. Are you there, Mr. Gudzinski? Fairbanks. Do you have anyone online from Fairbanks?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes. Please be, state your name for the record, and you can begin your testimony. You have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. I'm here representing myself, and I'd like to thank you guys for introducing SB 21 and 26. I've given them a quick look over, and although a bit difficult to read the legalese, it's about 20% of the earnings should still go to PFDs and the rest to government. I know it's a really hard decision to do to reduce the money going to every citizen to keep the government working, but I think it's a very important thing to do. I've gone to many Alaska's future conferences and learned about all the cuts and taxes and how they would completely fail to close the deficit and the danger that we run into if we lose the Budget Commission. I mean, you've all heard this before, but I felt the need to come in and state that I agree with you, and there are others like me who agree that just don't have time to come in and testify. And that's pretty much what I have to say.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to Chugiak, and we're going to go to Karen Perry. Ms. Perry, can you state your name for the record and begin your testimony on 21 and 26? You've got 3 minutes. Thank you.
Yes, hi, thank you. My name is Karen Perry from Chugiak, Alaska, and I am representing myself, my husband, my five children and their spouses, all future grandchildren and future generations. First of all, I'm not quite sure why both bills are being heard at the same time, but I am vehemently opposed to both SB 21 and SB 26. I do not like the idea of changing the formula for calculating our PFDs, which will lead to lower PFD amounts. ICER has already stated that taking the PFD out of local economies is detrimental not only for businesses, but also will push many more Alaskans over the poverty line. You, the government, receive 75% of all oil mineral revenues. If you cannot manage that well, why should you get one dime more? I would prefer to see both these bills held while we wait for some specific language on Senator Dunleavy's budget proposals. We need to cut K-12 education, starting with preschool, which is nothing more than subsidized daycare. Cut the UAA subsidies and the Cadillac Medicaid program before you start taking the people's PFDs. You need to stop stealing from the people of Alaska when you refuse to do due diligence in cutting this bloated budget. And now we find out that three legislators living in Juneau are still collecting per diem to the tune of $160 a day. Do you understand why the people of Alaska are upset? People are tired and fed up with wasteful spending. We are also upset that you spent well over $1 million for all the special sessions last spring. Stop capitulating to a governor that is acting like a despot. You answer to the people, not to the governor. You are supposed to be representing us, not to do his bidding. I want a constitutional amendment to protect our PFD as it is now calculated. Put the vote to the people. Lastly, I am asking all of you to maintain an objection on both of these bills, along with a roll call vote and a no vote on both of these bills. Voters have a right to know where you stand on these bills, and I am demanding a roll call vote. You are supposed to be serving we, the people. Please vote no on both of these bills. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Delta, and we have James Squires online. Mr. Squires, you have 3 minutes to testify on SB 21 and 26. Please state your name for the record.
Hello. My name is James Squires. I am from rural Deltona. I'm a constituent of Senator Michael Dunleavy, and I'm a third-generation CPA. I'm against SB 21 and SB 26. I looked on MarketWatch this morning, as I do each morning, and there were no less than four articles discussing how the oil and gas markets are improving. I looked on the Permanent Fund's website the other day, and I saw that combined Permanent Fund and Earnings Reserve are now in excess of $57 billion. To consider SB 21, SB 26, or even House Bill 115, which is on its way to your doorstep, is too extreme, not necessary, makes things too complex to restructure, and increases risk that POMV draw rates are either too high, in which case the earnings reserve could be depleted under certain scenarios, or the draw rate is too low, in which Alaskans are forced to make up the differences via an encroachment on their liberty from unnecessary income taxes, potential sales tax, and smaller PFDs, all of which have a negative effect on the private economy. The solution has been before you all along with the use of up to one-half of the earnings off the permanent fund, if necessary, after certain disciplined budget targets have been met, and no changes in the calculation of the PFD. Now, I have something else to say. I don't have a lobbyist in Juneau, and I've heard from my senator, and I quote, public testimony is your chance to influence the lawmaking process. Yet I get very concerned when I see that these two bills are already scheduled to be in Senate Finance tomorrow at 1:30, and the schedule does not even say pending referral. It is extremely discouraging to think that it is behind-the-scenes done deal that these bills will move, and that if they do show up in Senate Finance tomorrow at 1:30 without any objection by a member of this committee, that will be evidence to the futility of Alaskans attempting to exercise their Article 1, Section 2 rights. Everyone recalls the historic vote that took place in House Finance last year on SB 128 that Representative Tammy Wilson, the Representative Lynn Gaddis, and others were a part of, where they stopped that bill with its roll call vote. I expect no less from the members of this committee, and I call upon all of you to maintain an objection for a roll call vote should the chair choose to not set aside these bills. The intentions of the dominant co-chair in Senate Finance have been made clear to anyone monitoring those committee meetings or talking to her staff on the phone. She will not even schedule SB 1 and 2, which have already passed this committee. If you move these bills, most of you will not be a part of the process again until the more diabolical of these two show up again on the Senate floor. These bills and this committee are at a Y in the road for the state of Alaska, and I implore three of you, and you know who you are, to do your duty in a roll call vote and stop this wildfire while you can. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you very much. We're going to stay in Delta and go to Pam Good. Ms. Good, could you please state your name for the record and testify in SB 21 and 26, and you've got 3 minutes. Thank you.
I am Pam Good, presenting from rural Deltona. Members of the committee, I oppose SB 26. It's much like SB 128. If you have ever read SB 128, The Hall of Shame and the Crime of the Century, you will understand my arguments and my opposition to this bill. They're two of the same, and I oppose them. The other bill, I oppose SB 21 also. I understand POMV, the 4.5%. I understand half going to the PFD and the government. I also know that it does mess with the calculation, and it does cut what the people receive. The problem I have with this is, once again, it focuses on revenue, and revenue is not the problem. The problem is spending. There's a spending and wasteful spending problem in this state. There's no discipline in the legislature, and they cannot be trusted with more money. Until they prove to the people of Alaska that they can get the scope and size of government down to a reasonable size, they should not receive one more dime of revenue. And if so needed, and they have accomplished that great goal, then there is plenty of money in the earnings reserve. Half, I believe, is acceptable, the Hammond half and half. A solution. But until disciplined spending is well in place, we don't need to go any further. So I oppose both these bills. I'd like to see a roll call vote also so that we can get you guys on record, and that concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to Dr. Diana Chadwell in Delta Junction. Doctor, if you're online, please state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes to begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Dr. Diana Chadwell. I'm here about my PFD. I am just one of many Alaskans who have faced extreme hardship because of a theft of my PFD. anyone who's a disabled widow on a Social Security disability income has a delicate balancing act to keep our budget in line. And the theft of my PFD last fall has left me only able to eat one meal a day, for half of each month. I oppose both of these bills until they are put to a vote. I want the rest of my PFD returned to me in the form of a direct deposit within 24 hours, including the interest that it is earning in the undisclosed location bank account where it is earning all this interest. It's been in an interest-earning account for nearly two quarters. Bill said he was doing this, and I refer to him as Bill because he was a classmate here at Delta School before he went to Valdi. He wanted to cut the budget. Well, I'm all for being wise about our money use. However, what he is not thinking about are the numbers of students who are relying on that to pay their tuition. They would be graduating in a few short weeks and entering the workforce. Instead, these individuals who would be nurses and other highly paid, well-needed individuals in Alaska, they're going to be applying for food stamps, public assistance. That is not a savings for us. It's your job to work for us. I am your boss. And it is time to return the stolen funds to the people who need them the most. I urge you to listen to your heart and think about your children and your grandchildren. Do not pass this bill until it is put to a public vote. Mr. Cogshill, you and I go way back. We need you to make sure that the governor keeps his oath of office. Jay Hammond put measures in place for people who do the crime that Bill Walker did. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to David Otness from Cordova. Mr. Otness, if you could please state your name for the record and give your testimony on SB 21 and 26. You have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Good afternoon, committee chairs and committee. I find it supremely, if not perversely, ironic that we're dealing with SB 21 again, 3 years later, under a different guise. I attended virtually every hearing there was for HB 110 and SB 21 over the course of its very contentious application into law, and then I was one of the people who led to try to overturn it on that vote yes, because at the time we saw this coming. And we knew with that no protection on the grandfather fields in Prudhoe Bay that we would be giving our oil away, and within a couple of years we would be staring at breaking into the permanent fund. And I cannot articulate my disgust with what I've seen from the legislature and to some extent the governor's office, particularly the previous governor, and pulling this wool over our eyes. But what we have here now in the public, we're looking at the legislature, and we're going, nobody ever asked me if we're supposed to build that new LIO in Anchorage. Did any legislator at all ever ask a constituent whether they thought that was a good idea? And then when that deal went sour, and it was so hinky already, to pick up another one for $12 million down the street because nobody thinks to consult with their constituents as to whether or not this is a good good use of our state of Alaska money. We listened to Senate aides getting $90,000 a year and then flying off on their own, traveling, writing their own tickets.
Here, while I'm speaking,
And then legislators flying over to Europe and taking pay per diem while they're in Europe. I'm afraid the level of disgust is just so profound at this point. And then to have you come back and ask us to give up our money that you know we. Excuse me, there's something going on here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm sorry. There's some sort of disconnect here, but I'm just saying that I think this is a cheap shot. This is the third try to get into the permanent fund, and I think it's a horrible idea. It's just too expedient and convenient, and it covers up the tracks of very poor financial policy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to go to Anchorage. Michael Chambers, are you online? Mr. Chambers, you online?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, if you can state your name for the record, begin your testimony on SB 21 and 26, you have 3 minutes.
Yes, my name for the record is Michael Chambers, and I'm representing United for Liberty. And thank you, Chairman, for allowing me the opportunity to speak and also the committee there. I want to speak out against SB 21 and SB 26. This is a twofold function. The first fold, because there has been a false flag, a promotion, a lie, that the government has cut the budget. And the second fold, both Governor Walker and Senator Stedman believe the government economy takes priority over the private economy. They are protecting their own at the expense of the greater Alaskan population. Commissioner of Revenue Randy Hoffbeck said it best recently before the Senate Affairs Committee when he stated the reason why the governor grabbed the permanent fund dividend was because it was the largest asset with the easiest access. Think about that concept. Ultimately, both Senator Stedman and Governor Walker have donned black robes, and they are attempting to preside over a divorce between the permanent fund and the citizens of Alaska. They know if they can obtain divorce papers, SB 21 and SB 26, then they have successfully set in motion their opportunity to capture the entire corpus down the road. Ray Charles could see what is going on here. All wise economists agree you don't tax the serfs of the kingdom during a recession. The most brilliant idea out there is Senator Dunleavy's plan. I ask all Alaskans to go to Alaskatruth.com, and under Legislators Speak, I have placed Senator Dunleavy's plan so they can clearly see what it is about. And I ask all Alaskans to testify in support of Dunleavy's plan, which protects our permanent fund dividend and causes the government to get to a point where we can afford it instead of a government that is just designed by bureaucrats. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to stay in Anchorage. David Boyle, are you online? Mr. Boyle?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
If you can begin your state your name for the record, begin your testimony. You have 3 minutes to testify on SB 21 and 26. Thank you.
Yes, Chairman Dunleavy and committee members, I'm David Boyle, and I'm speaking for myself. And thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 21 and Senate Bill 26. I'm going to kind of push them together because there's not much difference that I can tell except in the percentages of the percentage of market value. It seems to me that many of our officials in Juneau are very reluctant to cut the budget to what I would call a reasonable level. I guess that the lobbyists, the school districts, the municipalities, the Alaska Municipal League, and the various crony capitalists want to maintain our spending spree that really began before 2005. I see it's kind of like the state government won the oil Powerball lottery, and now it's spent all the winnings, just like lottery winners do. And now the same state government is on the verge of bankruptcy, which may be too strong a term, and they want to ask their relatives, all Alaskans to bail them out for their mortgage, their boat, their RV, and all their nice-to-have things. Well, I'm here to tell you and ask you to please cut the budget before you use more of the permit fund to fund state government. The current spending by state government means that every working Alaskan would have to pay more than $15,000 in taxes. This cannot be done. We must cut the government first. And here are some ideas, because I, from what I've heard from some legislators, it's just really hard to do this. And, you know, we don't know where to start. And I understand that, because you're receiving all these different pressures from these different constituencies and special interests. Well, here's some ideas. The 1% for art program, gone. Education transportation, $72 million bucket of money that basically is shoveled out to all the various school districts with no accountability on how it's spent. Matter of fact, you could give them $100 million and they would spend it on so-called transportation. The hold harmless provision in the Education Foundation formula, which says that if a school district loses more than 5% of its student population, guess what? They still get the same amount of money. That's a disincentive. The size of school factor in the Education Foundation formula. And school districts, the larger ones, are known to manipulate this. Because if you have, let's say you have 400 students. Instead of building one school for 400 students, build two for 200 students, and you get more money from the state. Now let's look at Medicaid, the 27 optional services. Here's a solution to that. Let's just compare it to Medicare seniors. In other words, cut out the optional services. Seniors like myself don't get chiropractic care. We don't get free transportation from the bush to Anchorage like single, able-bodied young men and women do that are on Medicaid expansion. Or the Alaska Performance Scholarship Program. Not a bad program, $400 million worth. We don't need it. Times are tough. Power Cost Equalization Program, $1 billion. Many other programs are nice to have, but they're not mission critical. Put a spending cap in place. One of your fellow senators said at an economic forum in Juneau on January 31st of this year, quote, "We cannot have a private economy unless we have a government economy." I find that startling and extremely socialistic. In addition, think about this. What if one of these bills passed? Would the governor still veto the permanent fund dividend? Most likely. I oppose Senate Bill 21 and Senate Bill 26, and I want to thank you very much. There are many sacred cows, and these sacred cows produce expensive milk. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Juneau in the room, and I hope I pronounced the name correctly, Martin Stepton. Please come forward, and if you could state your name for the record, that would be great, and you can begin your testimony on SB 21 and 26. We're going to have 3 minutes. You can begin.
First of all,
yeah, you have to introduce your name for the record.
My name is Martin Stepton, senior.
Thank you.
I'm here from Juneau. First of all, I just want to say my daughter just turned 1 year old today. She's here with us in the room. And the reason I brought her here today was because, you know, I just want to kind of put things in perspective and, you know, let us all take a step back and see what we're really fighting for here. My daughter's name is Kaya. She was born a year ago here in Juneau. And all my kids were born here in Juneau. So what I'd like to say about the bills at hand here is my thing I want you guys to take away from my testimony tonight is sustainability. Sustainability is everything here. I think we do have to take money from the permanent fund earnings. But at market value, the amount we're asking to take here is a little steep. It's a little much. Sustainability for the future. We want to take the right amount. The amount of money that we're asking to take right now is too much in my mind. I don't think we should be taking that much. I support taking some of the earnings, but not that much. There was a bill introduced for the percentage market value at 4.7%. I forgot whose bill it was, but I think that would be a little bit more sustainable, 4.5%, less than what it is right here. So, along with that, I think I support this action. I don't support how much. There's no doubt that we need it. Let's not go into debt, period. Let's not go into debt. Let's not go and sell bonds or whatever. You know, let's take care of the deficit with the tools we have at hand, which is taxes and the permanent fund. Let's, here's something on taxes. If you're going to introduce a tax, let's be a little proactive here. Let's put a sustainable tax in place so that whenever we're not going to, whenever we stop using the money from the permanent fund, the taxes that we pay will pay for the government. Every state, there's no free lunch. Every state has to pay their own, has to pay their own way no matter what. And that's done by taxes. We need to raise taxes high enough to pay our own bills, period. And the taxes that have been proposed recently are not enough. If you want to pay for our own bills and pay for our own lunch, you have to raise the taxes high enough to pay for our own bills. So, sustainability, raise taxes so we could pay for our own bills and not go into debt, period. With that said, I hope whenever my daughter here is 31 years old like myself, we'll be in good standing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Next, we're going to go to Anchorage. Andrew Navarro, are you in Anchorage? Mr. Navarro in Anchorage, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Could you please state your name for the record, begin your testimony on SB 21 and 26?
Andrew Navarro. And I'm calling in just to try and defend my PFD. I just have a few things to say. That land out there, that state land, and even federal land, that does not belong to the federal government, nor does state land belong to the state. The land belongs to the citizens. And therefore, that stuff that's in the land, that also belongs to the citizens. Our state government here is stewardship, has stewardship over the land and stewardship over the goods that are in land. So now, when you start taking away the PFD, that's like giving stuff to different corporations that aren't even, most of them, from this country. And you're taking away from us stuff that doesn't belong to you. So therefore, I don't think it's right for you to take what we need to survive. Now, the PFD this year was supposed to be pretty big. Many people, including myself, acted accordingly and made plans for that money. And then right at the last minute, the money got chopped in half. Okay, so now I'm stuck here. We're barely making it through this winter. You know, so I'm just saying that, you know, hey, that's our stuff. And it's not anybody's right to go sell it and get rich off it, and people are getting really rich, and just leave us carrying the bottom bag. Yes, and that's all I have to say. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. We're on the North Slope with Brendan Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins, are you online? Mr. Hopkins?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you please state your name for the record and begin your testimony on SB 21 and 26? You have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. For the record, my name is Brendan Hopkins. I'd like to thank you all for your time and efforts and looking out for the betterment of our state. What you're hearing here today is frustration from the people. That shows passion and caring. And what that passion and caring is for is the desire for the betterment of our home from all Alaskans. And I think what you're hearing here is a healthy distrust of our government and how it's being managed right now. There's been an unbridled growth in our state budget here in recent years, from the year 2000 when the budget was $2.2 billion. It's grown, had an annual growth of roughly 13%. This growth has outpaced inflation and population growth here in the state during that respective time. You know, most people here in Alaska believe that the state spending is too high. This is evident from the polls that were taking place. Let me see, where was that? From the Alaska Senate majority poll that was at the beginning of the session, twice as many Alaskans believe that current spending is too high as compared to those who spent, who believe the spending is too low. I think that this bill makes a step towards accomplishing the mission of guarding and growing the PFD, permanent fund, that is, not the permanent fund debt. But because of this distrust of how things have been managed in previous administrations and the current one, the people of Alaska can't trust this bill. It's not something that we, you know, we have a spending problem. We don't have, well, we do have a revenue problem, but the bigger problem is spending. And just like a person that has a working career and is trying to save their money and invest for the future, and a future retirement, before a person is ready to retire, they have to get their house in order and they have to get their spending under control. Right now, our spending is outpacing our revenue, and that's unacceptable. And we've seen this for a long time. You guys have all noticed it. Every Alaskan has noticed it, virtually. But right now, we're going down the wrong path, and you know, this this bill right now, without having some measure that ensures a reduction in state spending, is unacceptable.
Mr. Hopkins, if you can wrap up, that would be great.
I beg your pardon?
If you can wrap up, that would be great. You've gone beyond 3 minutes.
Steps we need to take: stop hiring, stop buying business holdings. There's a proposal to buy the Phillips LNG in Kenai, my home territory. We don't need to do that. The state's not good at running businesses. We haven't done it well in the past. We're not going to do it well in the future. Stop buying land. My next door neighbor's land, the original homesteader, sold her land 5 years ago to the state. It's unbelievable. Why does the state need more land when the general public has so little of it? One last comment. I know it's not the problem, but if we do need increased revenue, let's look at imposing a internet sales tax of a small portion, 5%. That way it gives local Alaskan businesses an even playing field. And also, I believe there should be a wage reduction for state employees. Many in the private sector have lost their jobs. Many in the private sector have taken substantial wage decreases to retain their jobs. And I believe you guys in Juneau need to be aware of that picture and take it into consideration and future bills.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Next, we're going to go to Eagle River, and I hope I pronounced your name correctly. It's Randy Bielfus. Are you online?
Yes, I'm online, and thank you for the time to testify and stuff on SB 21 and 26. First of all, the PFD is a people's share of Alaska's mineral wealth, and it has worked very good for all these years. There is no private mineral holdings and stuff. It's done by the state, so that's why that was put in place. And we need to cut government spending. Senator Dunleavy is on the right track. We have time to get this under control. We still have enough in savings to give us 3 to 4 years to get it down to size. And government doesn't need to be in business. It should be the referee, not the player, because this is never done well. And this gas line would be another fiasco, just like all the fish plants and barley farms and everything else we've tried. We're about four times the national average on spending, and I can see a little more because things cost more up here and stuff to get up here and that, but that's way out of control. We need to do what the government in the Constitution says and do it well. We're not everything for everybody. Government does not drive the economy. Private enterprise does. And government should be there to facilitate with permitting and to make sure everybody's on the same playing field, not being a partner. We don't need new taxes yet. We need to get things under control. And that's my message. I thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to go to Soldatna. Fred Sturman, are you online? If so, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Fred Sturman. I'm testifying for me and my grandkids.
You testify.
And my kids. What? What? You can't hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I heard you guys talking over me. Okay. Or somebody. My name is Fred Sturman. I'm testifying for myself, my grandkids, and my family. We, for 20 years in the Nilchek, put a fair on every year at the fair. And we predicted, with the oil going and the way you guys were spending money, that 2020 would be the year that the oil would cross. We never guessed that oil would go to $40 a barrel or $50 a barrel. You guys have spent too much money for the last 20 years. Now it's time for you guys to come home and say, we're going to cut. You have to cut. I just left my friend's office. They just cut his salary by 20%. He went to a four-day work week. I talked to a waitress here the other day, a couple of them. They said their tips was off between 15 and 20%. I talked to another businessman that was here today. He said that he didn't pay his expenses this year for his business that he's got. So he said that next year he would probably hire five less people. And I see you guys are still hiring. I just talked to a man yesterday that has been here for not too long ago, and he just went to work for the state of Alaska about 3 weeks ago. So I know you guys are still hiring. You're still doing. You guys have never spent any money right. I've never seen nothing you've done. The guy mentioned the barley farm, the pig ranch, the cattle ranch, the grain elevators, and several others in deal. The other thing I was looking at the other day, I was looking at some of the prices, and I wasn't the latest that I could find because you have a hard time. I have a hard time finding yourself on your website. But you still had people working on the Connect Bridge at $250,000 a year salaries. I don't think that there's anybody in this state worth $250,000. I don't think there's anybody worth a penny more than the governor's making. And I just read in a paper where some of your aides was making $100,000 a year. That was in the paper. There's a lots and lots of over deal. The retirement plan is so good. Their medical plan is so good that nobody in the private sector can even come close to matching it. So I would appreciate you guys to do one thing. Kill all of these bills. Go strictly to getting rid of government. Start cutting government. And then after you cut the government a few billion dollars, then you can come back to me and ask me, and I'll consider giving you some more money. But not until you cut a few billion dollars more out of this deal. There's way, way too many employees. And I just heard today, too, you guys have to hire around 70 to 75 people if you put these bills in. So I'm just asking you, please cut and forget about any more income. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go to Anchorage, and is Renza Thigpen Jr. online?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Renza Thigpen Jr. I'm a resident here in Anchorage, Alaska. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I won't make this a long speech, but like the others, I have this similar feelings on Senate Bill 21 and 26. I think that it's bad for Alaska for legislators to create legal language to take something that doesn't belong to them. All these resources that we have are supposed to benefit the welfare of the residents of Alaska. The PFD was always meant for Alaskans, period. And when you take the money that you have and you squander it, you lose control of how Alaska functions, but it's not your job to put the weight of your financial mistakes on the backs of Alaskan residents. Anchorage, Juneau, and Fairbanks, they may be the state's largest cities, but what about the people in the village? What kind of message are we sending to people that live in the bush? You guys are our elected representatives, and you're supposed to take a political stance on behalf of the people, but somehow the people's message never made it to you guys. You know, we put you in there, and it's easy to say we could take you out. But this isn't the case, because the decisions that you guys are making right now will affect how Alaska functions in the future for future legislators that are in your place. Alaska's being ripped off because you're taking that existing money that doesn't belong to you, that oil, that gold, you know, our resources, that natural gas. That's coming from us. So it's all right for other people outside of Alaska to disrespect us, the citizens of Alaska. They can have our resources, but we're not able to get anything in return. There are other ways that you can skin a cat. That's what my mom used to say. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because there are other ways to get revenue without messing with Alaskans' money. You guys know how this works. Just remember, as legislators, you have to put Alaskans first. Not everybody aspires to be a legislator. Not everyone wants to become a congressman and get free health care. State spending can be controlled. You can buy what you need at a lower rate. You can change the financial climate of the state and show others that you can find a way out of no way. We're Alaska. We're the upper one. So let's not disrespect each other and let's get it done. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Palmer, and we're going to ask if Beth Freed is online. Beth, are you online? If so, can you begin your test? State your name and begin your testimony, please.
Good afternoon, State Affairs Committee. My name is Beth Freed, and I live in Palmer. I'm grateful to those of you I have reason to believe are not supporting either of these bills. For those of you who have not heard it, many of my friends and neighbors have been one message for you. Cut the budget. Don't participate in the ultimate fund raid by playing with permanent fund corpus earnings reserve or dividend in any way. And no new increased or redirected revenues. Those are taxes, fees, fines, royalties, etc. Until the entire budget, regardless of the funding title, is $8.3 billion or less. Oh, and please don't try to tell me that you cannot defund any portion of the administrative budget. Senate Bills 21 and 26 take money from the permanent fund earnings and give them directly, bypassing the earnings reserve, to Alaska's government to spend at will. Does this committee somehow believe that the way government is spending is the will of the people? If so, then you have not been listening for the past 2.5 years. Most of us want Alaska, now and in the future, to be a frugal government with a thriving populace. The legislation we are seeing from the 30th legislature has those two concepts, a frugal government and thriving statewide populace, in conflict. To that end, why do none of the documents I can find on Alaska's website explain the impact these bills will have on the populace of Alaska? In fact, the only documents I've read indicate that, with the exception of the remaining 2016 permanent fund dividend distribution, the only beneficiary of any currently proposed financial legislation is the benefit of the government alone. If this or anybody within government can provide me with verifiable numbers that indicate that anything the legislature is doing will result in a thriving statewide populace, then the basic message I've given to you will change for that piece of legislation. Cut the budget, hands off the permanent fund, and no new increased or redistributed revenues. That's taxes, fees, fines, etc. The governor's bill, SB 26, is one of the 5 worst pieces of legislation for 2016 and 2017. It not only restructures the permanent fund, it takes away more than half the permanent fund revenues and redirects them into government's checking accounts, not savings accounts. SB 26 should be named the absolutely ultimate entire permanent fund raid. Thank you for the opportunity to address you. I know you have a lot of work to do, but if you were looking for testimony on cutting the budget, we could give you those ideas too.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Martin Spargo in Wasilla. Mr. Spargo, if you can state your name for the record and begin your testimony, that'd be great.
Hi, good evening. Martin Spargo here. You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, I've been listening to this testimony, and most of it is pretty negative to these bills that are 21 and 26 that are before you guys, or before us. I think the idea is a fair idea. I won't speak to the particulars of it. I think just the concept of it. We're in a pickle in Alaska, or we're going to be in a pickle, and we need revenue streams. I keep listening to discussion about cut the government, like government is somehow inherently evil and bad. I mean, I look at government as services and what they do for the citizenry, and government is representative of people, of us. It's our schools, it's our public service, it's our safety, it's our health. So I don't know where the cuts are. I certainly don't hear a whole lot of really great or specific ideas about cut the government. A lot of folks have different views of what the permanent fund was established for, and my idea about it was that it was something to keep revenue from just being squandered by the government, put it into people's control as such. And so the idea with having the people voice their say on how it's going to be directed for the benefit of all seems reasonable, and the people do have a control of it. I don't know that it was necessarily created to just be a slush fund for people. I believe the idea was to have the people say how it's going to be spent for the government. And to that end, they do have that capability. So I think revisiting or visiting this and refining it with more input is fair. I wouldn't say throw this out completely, but it's a step in the right direction here. We need revenue. There's other bills on the table as well. I wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater on this one, though. So, anyway, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Still in Wasilla, we're going to go to Garvin Bukaria.
He's coming.
Yes, sir. My name is Garvin Bukaria. I'm a resident of Wasilla. I've been testifying on House Bill 115. There are a lot of similarities in respect to the fact that, according to the permanent fund CEO, that all of these bills, to some degree, place the corporation at risk of being politicized, which means that instead of being free to invest the market and or conditions dictate, they may be compelled to produce a return for the state and for a dividend, possibly. But it markedly, according to my understanding of the testimonies given in the last few days on the various bills, the major concern is this politicizing of the permanent fund and returns. Basically, I'm opposed to Senate Bill 21. It politicizes the permanent fund. The draw may be too great, the risk of questioning of the possible changing of the investments for the earnings reserve may threaten the corpus. I believe there's optimism for a stock market to be a positive returns under this current administration. I feel that the Permanent Fund Corporation should operate independently, that the Constitutional Budget Reserve should be used as a cushion for the next couple of years, and that we continue to reduce our expenditures. I was recently, today, visited a physician who told me about double dipping of the state Medicare program, or Medicaid program, I guess it is, with federal programs, and so that we may be paying more for attending to the health of some of our native brethren than we really need to. Senate Bill 26 politicizes the permanent fund. This is the governor's bill. The draw is far too great. We have to let the Permanent Fund Corporation operate independently, and I believe with the directed draws that we will continually place questions as to the ability of the earnings reserve to reconstitute the corpus. And therefore, I beg you folks to address our expenditures and to reduce them appropriately. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to go to Soldaten again, and is Mr. Sturman, Fred Sturman, there in Soldaten? Did we speak? He speak already? Okay, he wasn't been marked off there. Okay, so we're going to go to Nikiski, Jesse Bjorkman. Are you online?
Yes, Senator Dunleavy, this is Jesse Bjorkman from Nikiski, Alaska.
Yes, please begin your testimony, Jesse. Thank you.
Yeah, I called today to talk about personal responsibility, and I want to make sure that you all understand that Alaska needs a fiscal plan that works and that's sustainable, not just for 2 or 3 years or until we can get a new governor, but we need a plan that works now to secure our future. I support these bills with reservations. Senator Dunleavy, earlier today you came on the radio program and you talked about government programs creating a constituency. I couldn't agree with you more. No government program has created a greater constituency than the dividend program, as we see in the testimony provided today. The truth is that patronage creates serfdom. This is true in ancient Italy with the Medici family, true with the Gracchus brothers in Rome, and many other people where people have figured out, hey, if you give the people money, the people will vote for you. That's an absolute truth. Ideally, before any taxes are levied on the people of Alaska, we need to explore all options available with the earnings reserve account so that it can fund government. Before we take away the people's wages, the people's salaries that they have earned, we need to use the money that the government already has, not dole it out to the general public. What kind of Alaska do we want for our future? What kind of Alaska do we want for our families and our children? Is it the kind of Alaska that buys votes or provides opportunity? We need to make these hard decisions now. We can't continue to run around like a crazed barber looking for long-haired specters to cut while our fiscal house falls off of a cliff. We need to take action that provides fiscal, sustainable budgets for our schools, for our police and fire, for mental health programs, for our prisons. We cannot have a scorched earth policy of cutting. However, it is clear that certain cuts do need to be made so that we have efficient government. I thank the senators for their time. And I would just encourage you to think about Keynesian economics. I hear that brought up a lot, and the effect that the dividend program has on the economy and the effect that government spending has on the economy as well. I'm not a Keynesian guy, but I know enough to say that you cannot have it both ways. Please let government do what it's supposed to do with the money that it has before you tax Alaskans. With reservations, I support these bills, and I urge you to pass a fiscally sustainable plan for all of Alaska.
Thank you. We're going to go into the room here. Elijah Verhagen, want to come forward, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony. You have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Elijah Verhagen, and I'm representing myself today. I am a fiscal conservative, but I'm also a realist. I know that we have still a $2.8 billion deficit that we need to be working on closing. I believe that Senate Bill 21 is the route that we should take. I believe that the 4.5% that's mentioned and outlined in there, split in half, with half of it reinvesting into the permanent fund account, with the other half, which equates to a little over $1 billion that can be used to fund and close the budget deficit, is a little bit slower way to go. But at the same time, I believe Senate Bill 26 is a little too high with 5.25%. I believe that as we continue to make cuts, we know there's no way I'm working on budgets. There's no way we can cut that much in the next 3 years. It's hard. There's a lot of money that we can cut, and we still need to be trying to do that. So as we continue to cut, as we move forward and pass Senate Bill 21, and then with the continued former Senate Bill 21, our oil tax plan that's continuing to slowly increase in oil production at 3% this year, and if that continues to go as it's working in January and February of this month, I believe that within 2 or 3 years we can actually close this fiscal gap if we pass Senate Bill 21. It's not perfect. If we need to amend it, I say we move forward with this. I would urge you to not move Senate Bill 26 out of this committee. I think that it is way too high, and as we've heard from a lot of people, again, I'm a realist. The PFD amount isn't such a big deal to me if we can get ourselves out of debt. But at the same time, if you want the public to be able to swallow this, Senate Bill 21 has a 1,500 roughly to 1,700 PFD in there, which is going to be a lot easier for the public to swallow than this cap at 1,000, which already we saw the effects this year from capping it at 1,000. So I would urge you to pass Senate Bill 21 out of committee and not Senate Bill 26. Thank you.
Thank you. Still in the room, we're going to go to Dora Barr. If you could come forward, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony on SB 21 and 26. You've got 3 minutes. Thank you.
My name is Dora Barr. I had to write down what I wanted to say here. To the State Finance Committee, I would like to put my input on its new fiscal proposal, Senate Bill 21 and 26. My understanding, the bill provides for use of permanent fund earnings and reduced dividend payments. Why should it be reduced when it was put in writing on how it would be planned out from the beginning? Excuse me. Why should it be reduced when it was put in writing on how it would be planned out from the beginning, that the Alaska Permanent Fund Dividend has had a bill from the beginning? It takes one person to change it, or a group. In the first place, it was not theirs to borrow for anything. Why should the state income tax be involved for new revenues? The people did not touch it. I do not support the bill. Too many are coming in from out of state to receive the permanent fund. That needs to stop. The Finance Committee needs to investigate it. The Finance Committee needs to investigate the problem on this. It had to go through the Senate Finance Committee to loan the money from the permanent fund. And now they're trying to find a way out. The PFD needs to be refunded back to the people, not taken. The state always wants to step in and take what already belongs to the people. The oil was already on the land of Alaska, and the state is already benefiting from it. Now other states are coming in to take part of it in other countries, and that needs to stop. It really needs to stop because the permanent fund was there for the state of Alaska.
Thank you. Next we have, we're still in Juneau, is it Even Ads? E-A-D-S? I'm sorry. Juan, sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm good when I state my name, I guess. My name's Evan Eads from Fairbanks, and I'm here to speak for myself. Of these two bills, and I'm actually a constituent of Senator Coghill, I find Senate Bill number 21 preferable with a few caveats. I think it's a little bit futile to debate the probability of death and taxes. The reality is, which one do you, you know, of the many taxes that are proposed, what solution do you want? We can argue all day that we all dislike it, but in reality there's certain things that have to happen. The problem with just a dividend approach, and this is my caveat, is that it doesn't take into account the fact that out-of-state workers are still contributing nearly nothing to the economy of Alaska. I don't want to ridicule all of them, but I mean, as a general principle, they come in. Many of them live in man camps. They pay no rents. They pay no mortgages. They have no car payments. They buy no groceries. They may buy a beer in the airport. Other than that, to take from the state's wealth essentially subsidizes them. They pay nothing for the infrastructure which they use for their employment. As such, there are some other measures that could be taken, I think, that would address that, such as instituting an income tax. It could be any amount you could set any amount you wanted to. But you could cap it for residents at the dividend. Okay? This would protect both high-income and low-income people from being adversely affected. And it's an approach which I've suggested to many people and I've found widespread support for. Because of that very thing, and it wouldn't protect, obviously, because they don't get the permanent fund dividend, out-of-state workers. So if you put that amount at 10%, they would pay the full income tax rate. And the important approach is that to make sure that everyone is contributing, and by that, I mean, I've heard low levels estimated at 25%. Of the workers are out-of-state workers, but if you look at certain industries, like oil, it's much higher, 30-35%. The other thing is that there are many out-of-state business owners who have S-corps, and who their wages may not draw much, but their owners draw, which is a separate thing, is still quite significant. Anyway, and an income tax would, across the board, but capped for in-state workers, I mean for in-state residents, would be a possible solution to that. But I welcome SB 21 with those thoughts, because at least there's something going forward, and there obviously needs to be some solution. But I think there needs to be some creativity, and I welcome it because we need the marketplace of ideas, and any ideas, really, at this point, to be bantered about and to come up with a solution that can be that can work for all of us. Thank you, committee.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we're going to take about a 10-minute break and then come back. Right now we have nobody else online, but I'd like to need a little more time to see if folks are going to line up to testify. So if we could take 10 minutes, we'll be back in session. Recess. Okay, we're back in the session with the Senate State Affairs Committee, and we're hearing public testimony SB 21 and SB 26. We're going to our next testifier, and that would be Miranda Walso. Ms. Walso, can you please state your name for the record? And if you want to state any affiliation and begin your testimony, you'll have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Miranda Walso, I'm with myself, Corporation. So I'd like to state my opposition to both of these bills. Initially, I'm going to start with the ideological discussion, partially by my opposition to it. Oh. My opposition stems from the fact that we have mechanisms in place in the current structure to allow us to utilize the earnings from the reserve and to make changes in the way that things are distributed without having to redistribute it or recalculate things and introduce into these calculations elements of risk based on the financial valuations of the market, whether it goes up or down, and whether that allows us to eventually begin eating into the corpus. At this time, we have never utilized the options we have. How can we start saying that it's time to do something different until we first try for what we have and see how it works and then make changes if necessary or start from the ground up? There's been a lot of talk about how much we have left in savings versus house and will need new revenue or drastic cuts. We have just about enough time for a year to make that change without having to alter the amount that we've been taking from savings to cover our budgets at this point. Why don't we use that time to see how utilizing the earnings reserve and using the existing statute and the existing authority to fund government and to make changes regarding which services are key, which constituencies need them the most, which ones are working versus which ones aren't. And after that year, reevaluate and determine whether we can no longer afford to operate with the revenue we have, whether the cuts we've made over the last few years have had the effects that we wanted them to or not. And once that is known, once we have the data for making the changes with what we can already do, only then begin bringing new ideas forward. At that point, start looking at other things. One of the things that really alarms me about these is that they're permanent changes generally. These are big changes. They affect the entirety of the state, not just your generation, my children's, but generations that have come before and ones that will come after. At this point, it's too risky to throw away what we've started. We've committed to the process, to bringing those pieces together and looking at whether it is viable or not. And right now, that is not being seen through. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear about whether people who depend on things will have them, whether the economy will recover, whether jobs will be there or not. But right now, now is the time to stay the course and show that when we make a decision, we follow through with it. And we are determined to utilize the tools we have available before we go looking for new ones or before we go asking for help, whether it's me asking to give more, whether it's me asking more of you. And I don't feel like we can honestly say we have done that yet. And that's my biggest concern at this point.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go online to Ed Martin of Cooper Landing. Mr. Martin, are you online?
Yes. Good evening, Chairman Dunleavy and other members of the Senate Affairs Committee. I'm not in support of this whatsoever. The permanent fund dividend, or the permanent fund itself, is not broken. It's returning about a 7% return on the investments to the earnings reserve. I am and would support the use of the earnings reserve only and only if the state of Alaska would give the people something in return for that. I've put forward last year and testified at meetings what I call the Alaska Land Voucher Program. We want a tangible. If you're going to take this for those that are bellied up to state spending, those big corporations that the state writes a check to every month, and the individuals that work for the state, I'm not begrudging them whatsoever of their wages. Every man should get a fair wage. But I can tell you, they are the prime beneficiaries of state spending. You ask the average person out there, and they'll maybe complain a little bit about roads being plowed, but I can tell you this. We are Alaskans. We are tough. We are very vibrant. And there's, in occasions in the past, I've bladed the roads for my fellow citizens with my own equipment. There's a lot that can still be cut from our state government, and you folks know this. I am a second-generation four generations in Alaska from statehood. My dad was a homesteader. In fact, I know one of the members on there knew my dad quite well. In fact, I have a card from his passing from that senator, and thank you very much, ma'am. Dad would not have stood whatsoever for the taking of the dividend by the governor. And so, in saying that, half of those earnings, as far as I'm concerned, we voted for to protect an advisory vote, which my dad spent his time over summer to get a petition signed and carried them to the legislature in 99, asking for that advisory vote. What is it that you guys don't understand about the will of the people? I don't believe times change that much. And I am very supportive of, maintaining a sustainable government. There's no doubt. We need it. But the whole thing is this. Government is force. It's like a fire. And with it, you can get your butt burned. And I can tell you, we can have a little more respect for the citizens that pay for government. And I encourage you folks to come up with another means of revenue and not touching the permanent fund dividend or changing the permanent fund itself. In fact, I believe there should be a vote of the people if you're going to make any change to the structure of the permanent fund or how the dividend is distributed. So that being said, I wish you folks the best of luck this session, but you still got money in the CBR. Use it wisely, and let's get a land voucher program going if you are next year going to use those earnings. And look into, let's see if we can't encourage what brought my dad to Alaska and many other ones to homestead the land and create new wealth. So I don't want to take other people's time. I appreciate deeply the opportunity to speak, and hopefully you're listening to 62 years age, second generation, and 52 years Alaskan. So God bless you in your efforts.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to Anchorage, and it's Christine Hutchinson. Christine, are you online?
Yes, I am here. My name is Christine Hutchinson. I live in Kenai, and I wanted to testify about these two bills, SB 21 and SB 26. I am supportive of these bills. I have not read them through as much as I would have liked, but I support Senator Demme in efforts to help the situation. I personally am not in favor of an income tax because there is a significant number of our population here in the state that pays no income tax. So if we're going to start instituting an income tax, we can know where it's going to come from. It's not going to come from the people who are the great percentage that are not paying tax. And I do more support a sales tax. And I've heard just earlier today with some discussion on another financial subcommittee, I heard reference to an internet tax. Well, until you have an Amazon distribution center here in Alaska, there's not going to be any sales tax from Amazon. And, Amazon gathers a lot of our money. But I am more in favor of a sales tax, because if you're going to buy, if you haven't got your humongous TV and you're still going to be buying your humongous TV, then you're going to be contributing to the state budget with that sales tax. My preference would be sales tax. I prefer to leave the permanent fund the way it is. It is belongs to the people, because that's their benefit of owning property without owning the mineral rights at all. However, if that's the only thing that can be a way to address the deficit, then it would be better than an income tax, because you're going to tax the people that make the money, and then you're just going to turn around and we're just going to turn around and use our permanent fund to pay for it. The people that have income, I guess, I don't know what the people that aren't going to have income, I guess they just don't pay. They don't pay income tax and they still get their permanent fund. So my least favorite choice is income tax, and then after that my next favorite is permanent fund. But I truly believe there are ways to cut the state budget. Now, I don't know if those $100,000 department assistants are still there or not. The governor very graciously gave to all the department heads, and the reason I say this is because I know one of them. Now, I don't know if she's still working down there, but those should have been gone long ago. And I know that there's lots of ways, and I don't think it all is plowing the snow. There are many, many ways where it can be, budgets can be cut. But I understood about projects developing a constituency. I understand that very much. But I just really believe that this budget for the whole state of Alaska, it functioned fine in years past. I don't know why we can't just go back to that other budget and just cut it to there. Also, zero-based budgeting. I was at a meeting just a week ago where he discussed zero-based budgeting, and I heard actually the mayor of the Kenai Peninsula Borough defending the idea that you can't have zero-based budgeting. That's just too hard for these bureaucrats. And it's just one of those things that you have to do. I mean, I don't think they have to spend all that money just so they can have it the next year. These things have to be cut. We don't need this kind of money. We don't need these kinds. I mean, I understand everybody wants their services, but we can get along without it if we can get back to where we're supposed to be.
Christine, we're at our end of our 3 minutes. If you could wrap up, please.
Okay. I'm in favor of cutting till we know what it's being cut. But I support these two bills, SB 21 and SB 26. I think Senator Dunleavy is doing what needs to be done. Thank you.
Next, we're going to Delta Junction, and is Helen Tongana online? I hope I pronounced your name closely.
I'm here.
Can you please state your name for the record and begin your testimony? Thank you.
Hello, I'm not going to keep it too long, but hello, Chairman Dunleavy and committee members. My name is Helen Tongana, and I represent my family of four children. I oppose Senate Bills 21 and 26. Jay Hammond set this money aside to benefit future generations. SB 21 and 26 steal money from my family, children, and future grandchildren. The legislative job is to reduce spending, generate revenue sources, not steal money from the people, and I urge to vote no on SB 21 and 26. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't believe we have anyone else online. As we're waiting, on Thursday, we're going to hear the Real ID Bill, SB 34, its driver's license and ID cards and Real ID Act. We're also going to have a presentation on an approach that deals with the 50-50 concept of the earnings reserve. Let's just wait about three more minutes, 6:30. If nobody's online, then we'll wrap it up. So we're going to take a 3 minute recess. So again, our next meeting is Thursday, February 23rd at 3:30. We are going to be hearing SB 34, Driver's License and ID Cards and Real ID Act. And we will have a presentation on Bridging the Fiscal Gap by myself, Senator Dunleavy, and we will talk about the earnings reserve concept, the 50-50 concept. Brief at ease. We're out of recess. We have a testifier in Wasilla, Philip Furbush. Are you online, sir?
Yes, I am.
Can you please state your name for the record and begin your testimony? You'll have 3 minutes. Thank you. This is SB 21 and 26.
This is Philip Furbush, and I'd like to state that the state of Alaska has already spent over 75% of our non-renewable resources. These resources belong to all Alaskans, including future Alaskans. Using the permanent fund earnings and for the general spending by the state is the beginning of the end of the permanent fund, the permanent fund corpus. This is evident by the fact that the permanent fund has already been affected by not inflation-proofing the permanent fund. We need to start cutting ineffective and inefficient spending before we start doing anything like SB 21 or 26. There is a lot of wasteful spending. It's like the, we have the debt reimbursement program that encourages communities to spend money and rack up debt and then have the state pay for it. This is inefficient because a lot of communities see this as a way to bring revenues to their communities rather than a need for it. And an example of that is they have schools that could be refurbished and reused, but instead they're torn down and they put in for a new school so that they can bring revenues to their communities. This type of inefficient, ineffective type of spending is why we have gotten the state into this position that we're in now. Another example is the the spending on of our we need to start spending. We need to start cutting spending and figure out how we can diversify our economy to provide a long-term sustainable economy. Like, what we should do, first of all, is use the permanent fund or what our monies to invest in the replacement of these non-renewable resources so that next generations can have it. And I'll have an example is by, if we built the Susitna Hydroelectric Project and built a petrochemical industry, that would go a long ways towards building a sustainable economy rather than just trying to use a permanent fund money, which will never be enough because the state sees it as easy money and nobody pays attention if the permanent fund dividend is gone. The fund itself will be used up by the state.
Yeah, our 3 minutes is up. If you could wrap up, that would be great.
I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to go to Petersburg, and Michael Sheldon, if you're online, please identify yourself for the record, and you can begin your testimony. You have 3 minutes on SB 21 and 26.
Yes, this is Michael Sheldon calling from Petersburg. And for the record, I do not support SB 21 or 26. I think that we should have a sustainable budget put in plan. I think that the Governor Hammond 50-50 plan should be put into effect. And I think that government needs to downsize instead of increase. And I think it's really important that we protect the permanent fund dividend program because there's a lot of people out there in urban areas and what have you that are suffering and need that extra money for stove oil and groceries and what have you. And it really helps the economic growth of Alaska, too, when you take out 6,650 $66 million away from the economics of Alaska, and you put it in the other pockets of other people around Alaska. As you spend the money, you end up with $1 billion moving around Alaska's economy and helps build it and strengthen it. But if you end up putting it in other areas, you find out that you're going to lose money. So it's really a principle, I think, that we need to adhere to help the people of Alaska, is to strengthen the economy, build our economy, shut down any kind of senseless build like SB 20 or 26, and open up avenues for Alaskans to grow and to build the economy. And so I do not support SB 2126, and I thank you, Senator Dunleavy, for your efforts to help Alaska grow with the permanent fund and the Governor Hammond's plan. And you all take care, and you have a great evening.
Thank you. So with that, we're at the end of our testifiers. Again, we're meeting again on Thursday, February 23rd at 3:30 p.m. SB 34, Driver's License and ID Cards and Real ID Act. We'll also have a presentation on... I guess we have one more person online. I apologize for that. Brief of these. Go around and talk with you.